Let's pray. Father God, as we explore your word this morning, that you'd be with us with your spirit, that you would teach us what we need to be taught, and we forget the things that are not of you, that you would be glorified and we would praise your name. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, we started off the series with a question, and this was kind of the scenario. So just a quick update for everybody else. You've already heard this, but don't worry, it'll move on. There's a gift in a shelf, and a father brings it in, and he pops it on the shelf, and the son's busy away typing on his computer, probably doing his homework, no doubt. And he goes, "Dad, just pop the gift up there on the shelf. I'll deal with it later." And a few days later, the father comes in and says, "Have you opened it yet?" Son goes, "Nah, Dad, nah, I've been so busy. I've just been running around, you know, doing my homework, and I had to do this Call of Duty thing." And then it's kind of like, you know, a few days later, the father comes in, "Have you unwrapped the present yet?" And the son goes, nah, Dad. Finally, the father goes, "Look, just unwrap the present." And that was a kind of an idea that we have this gift of the Holy Spirit that is waiting to be poured out on the church. And I think sometimes the church has put it on the shelf and gone, "I'll open it later." And one of the key things for us as a church is to remember, we are called to open that gift and pour it out upon the church. That's the first thing. Now, imagine the scenario I'm going to develop a little bit now. The son finally gets up off the computer, picks up the present, opens it up, and don't get excited by this gift, Jacob. Opens it up, and inside there's the father's bank balance, the father's keys to his house, the father's keys to his cars. In fact, the father's given his son everything. And then the son goes, "Do you know what? I don't think I need you anymore, Dad. Can you move out? I've got the deeds to your house now. I own this. I own this property. Can you just go away? Because I'm quite happy now that you've given me everything. I don't need anything more from you." And I wonder sometimes the other danger of the gift is that we don't open the present. The other one is we forget the giver. And we think it's about the gift rather than the giver. And I want to think and explore that a little bit more, because this morning we're going to be talking about the greater gifts. And I always hesitate to say the greater gifts, because it sounds like something that I'm just imposing, you know, like, "Oh, these are the greater gifts, so look at me, aren't I good, because that's some of the ones that I have." But yesterday at Newton's ordination, we heard from the guy talking about John the Baptist, who was desperately pointing away from himself and towards Jesus Christ, the one who is coming. And so I want to think that these greater gifts are not about the person, but the giver, the person who gave them to, the one that they want to talk about and the one they want to point to. So when Jesus comes, John the Baptist says, "There is somebody whose sandals I can't even tie up or untie. Can't even wash his feet. He's that amazing." And so I want to remember and hold on to that. And I thought the wonderful thing was the explanation of John the Baptist was really good. He doesn't have very good dress sense. And if he came to a barbecue, it would be very difficult to cater for him. And all of those other things. He was odd and unusual, though. He spoke the truth of God with an unwavering passion for Jesus and for God and who he came from. And he held on to that truth and remembered it. And I think with confidence I say, yesterday, as we saw Newton ordained into the priesthood, I believe that is what he is like. He is desperately pointing to God and wants to do that. He's not, I hope, I don't think, I can't always predict the future, but I believe you're somebody who remains humble enough to point to the giver rather than the gifts that are given. And certainly in some of those greater gifts I see in you, Newton, as you move forward in your ministry. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you exercise those gifts with humility and grace, as you have in the last year already. And certainly don't stop praying for Newton and his future as well. We should always hold on to him in our prayers and ask that God would bless him greatly wherever he goes, whatever he does. Although we'd love to keep him, and I know I've got the duct tape and everything ready just before, we have to let him go as well when he's ready and allow him to help pour out those gifts on other churches, other members, and other people. And so let's think about those gifts. And the three gifts I'm going to explore, the first one is this apostolic gift. I mean, the gift of the Spirit being an apostolic reality. It's kind of an interesting one for me, because when I think about apostleship or that, I think about the people who brought us the Bible. See, for me, the New Testament was written by the apostles, so it has to have direct links to the apostles. You can't have the Gospel of Bill up the road because he had really good ideas about them. And so one of the criteria for writing, putting books in the New Testament was they had to have apostolic authorship. So I'm going to talk about this gifting of apostolic leadership, if you like. I'm not just thinking, I think there are still the apostles who were the beginning of the church, and they were the ones who set the church and the foundations of the church. But there is something of what they did that can be a gift of the Spirit to us. And I kind of want to almost say it's a pioneering spirit. So in 1218, a while ago, there was a guy called Alan Coston and a Seamus Hereticus, is it? Which is an interesting name. But they were the people who came and started this church. I believe they are those with apostolic gifting. They were people who were desiring to see God's word spread amongst the nation where it wasn't being spread before. They were people who were desperate to push forward with God and show people the love of God in their community and the spaces they surrounded where there wasn't anything in the beginning. And I wonder, as we think about that as well, there is so much that's going on around us. There's massive building work going over here, 5,500 new homes, 2,500 new homes over there. There's 2,000 homes going over there. We need that desire to be pioneers. We need that gift to go out and share God's love with communities who are growing and beginning to be built. And when we do that, we'll see God move in many, many ways. And I almost want you to see, do you remember, I don't know if you've ever seen any Western films. I quite like Western films. And you see those guys and they go out in the wagons and the carts and they've got the things trailing on the back and they go and break into new ground where nobody's really been there before. And it's kind of a little bit like that. We need to break into new ground so we can show God's love and God's compassion. So for me, that's kind of where I'd say that apostolic sort of gifting is. It's kind of that idea of desiring. And it's hungry to see Jesus promoted wherever they go. That's the first gift we're going to be thinking about. The second gift is this, prophecy. And it's really, really a difficult one to kind of understand as a church, because it is a gift that needs to be exercised within the church. I think too often we feel a bit shy and we say, well, is this really me or God? And I'll give you a quick test. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's you. If it agrees with the Bible, it's from God. That's probably a quick litmus test for what is going on with what God might be saying in your in prophetic ministry. And one of the things that it does is it actually encourages the church to move forward. It gives them momentum and desire to serve God. It puts them in the right direction, a little bit like John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. John the Baptist was clearly saying something was so important. He said, repent, because the kingdom of God is here. It then turned people's lives around. They turned from the direction they were going, and they came straight back into the way of God. And so that was one of the things that he did as a prophet. I wonder if there's people here that could exercise the gift of prophecy. And I have benefited from people who have spoken into my life that you have benefited from, because it's encouraged me to crack on with what we're doing. And people have just quietly come up to me and said something that they wouldn't have known naturally, but they could reassure me that God was with me no matter what happens. And that gave me the courage to be able to keep on going from a deep personal crisis that we had in our life at one point. And it was a beautiful thing that happened. And it just really motivates us to move forward. That's the gift of prophecy. It's kind of a gift to the church to say, come on, guys, we can do this. Let's go that way. Follow that pioneer over there, because they need some help and support. And so that's a little bit of prophecy. There's a much, much more to it, and I wish we had longer, but we sort of can go into a bit more detail maybe at the Bible studies at home when we have the house groups. And there's another gift as well, the gift of teaching. These are the three gifts I've been looking at, because they're the first three that Paul lists in the 1 Corinthians 12 passage. Says the gift of teaching. And what I think that is the ability to take what God's word says and bring it into reality for people's lives, that it changes and forms what they think, how they think, and how they move forward in their lives with God. It's to deepen your relationship with Jesus, to deepen your relationship with God, and from that point of confidence, to be able to go out and show God's love in practical and real ways in our community. And I've seen that in abundance with Newton and the way that he brings God's word to us and all of those other things. So it is a gift that I see in him. But there's probably others out there that have the same gift who are able to talk about God's love, God's compassion through his word and explain things to people. And it just, you know, when the penny, you see people with pennies drop and they go, oh, hadn't thought of it like that before. That's what a teacher does. It brings the reality of God's word into their life so they can actually bring it out and apply it to the things they have. And I just want to pause for a moment because there's a real danger here as well. Like I said at the beginning, if we open the gift and think, great, I can just use it and I'll ignore God, there's a danger here and it's a warning sign. And Paul writes at the end of it, he says, I'm going to show you a greater way. And we heard from the gospel that said about love. Paul then says a greater way is love. And it's not a love that's like the frivolous love that we see sometimes in Hollywood blockbusters, but a deep desire and a love for people that is of Christ. Jesus gave up everything that we might have a life in him. So Jesus is the aim of our love. And Jesus gives that example in the gospel and says, your greatest gift that you can give to anybody is love. And Paul agrees with that. And he says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 13. So often read out in a wedding, but so often it needs to be heard by the church. Because if we think the exercise of those three gifts I've spoken about, done in love, is a beautiful and good thing. It's powerful and it outpours the Spirit and it transforms the very atmosphere of the church. But if it's done without love, it's really dangerous and toxic and poisonous and it kills the church so quick. And that's why we see so many churches that have had divisions and anger issues and sort of splits because they forgot about their primary calling into love. And the gifts start to become the important thing. In fact, that's what we see in the Corinthian church. Sadly, if you see at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, there's four factions within the church. And Paul is saying to stop those factions from breaking and splintering again, you need to have love. You need to have a love for one another because actually you've got to have a love that is willing to give up your life for one another. And that's one of the most important things you can remember and hold on to. The gift that is given to you will be nothing without love. And I'll show you slight examples of that. Say in apostolic ministry, if it was done without love, it would look something like this. I need to go and do a mission over there. Come on, everybody. Why aren't you following me? Oh, these guys are useless. I know what God wants. You need to come with me. That's not an apostolic gift done in love. It's an apostolic gift done in arrogance, and it's sort of a not a pretty thing, and it's toxic. Imagine if there's a prophecy, a prophet done not in love. God's told me that you're all wrong. God's told me that you've got things absolutely wrong. You need to change your life completely and utterly. And by the way, all of these things that I don't like about you, I'm going to mention as well because I've got some beef with you. That could be prophecy, the gift of prophecy done without love. And then if you want to say teaching, look, I've got some agendas that I need to teach you and speak to you about, and I've got my pet projects that I need to promote. That would be teaching without love. In fact, I'm going to ignore that book over there because it's got stuff that I'm not happy about and I'm a little bit inconvenienced with my lifestyle. That is not teaching in love. That is teaching with my own agenda and my desire to just promote my own way of life rather than going back to the source and telling you what God says rather than what I think. So you can see the difference. Exercised in love, it is a beautiful thing because it's of God and it teaches us and it helps us and it moves us forward as we seek to serve God. But done without love, it's a toxic message that kills the church faster than you can imagine. My hope and my prayer is that first we find the love of Christ in this church. First we seek to serve him no matter what we're doing, where we are, who we are. That is the most important thing. And then the second is this, that we allow ourselves to reach out into our communities and show the love of God using the gifts that God has given us. I believe in this church is the solution to the mission of field of Weldon, Prize Hall, and Weldon Park within this church. And it's not down to me and Newton either. It's down to us all. There's a massive mission field out there. The harvest is ripe and ready. We're seeing transformations in this community and places around us where young men have gone from 4% to regular attendance to church to 21% in 3 years. God's moving. We need to move with him. We need to find out what he's doing. Later on in the series, we're going to do a questionnaire, and people might be a bit suspicious of questionnaires, but the questionnaire is to ask you, where do you think God is in your gifting? What are the gifts that you have in your arsenal that God has given you? And how are you going to use them? And then also, it was interesting, we did an exercise with our house group the other day. We said to people, well, tell us what you think your gifts are. And then we're going to get everybody around the room to tell you what your gifts might be. And, you know, it's predictable that you're all very British and lovely. Well, me, maybe I'm good at making salad. And it was once we went round the room and started talking about it that people were released to hear what God is doing in their lives, what people see the fruit of their love of God is blossoming as. And so we maybe need to talk to other people about what we think our gifts might be. And so as we do that, we release the power of the Spirit in this church. My three things that God gave me, and I shared with Newton, he shared with you last week, is remove the fear. So many times we're worried about what we might do, or we might offend somebody, or we might hurt somebody, or all those other things. We need to remove that fear. Why? Because we need to unlock potential. We have a church full of potential. I think it's not fully unlocked yet, and it needs to be, and it needs to be moved forward. Why? Because then we want to unleash the Spirit. Let's pray that the Spirit of God moves among us and changes and transforms our church in a way that is beautiful and good and honoring to God. Like John the Baptist, we want to see people go, it's him. He's the one I exist for. He's the one who is best ever. He's the one who changed history. He's the one that can save you. I can only point to him. But if you introduce and meet Jesus, he will change your life forever. And I mean forever, because his eternal promises are good. So my hope is that we will embrace this, see where God leads us. And as we go forward and move forward, we would see the unleashing of the Spirit that transforms our landscape like no other. Because without the Spirit's power, we have nothing. Zechariah 4:9 says this, not by power nor by might, but by the power of my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's tap into God's potential and let's see what happens. Because I think it'll be a beautiful journey and I'm looking forward to it. Amen.